Okay, now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. With the sobriety date of May 11, 2014, from Visalia, California, and a favorite saying of sober is sexy, let's give Dean a hand.
Hey, how's everybody doing? My name is Dean, and I am still an alcoholic. Well, my first time doing this, so you know what I mean? I don't know really where to start at, but I will, I'll take you through my journey. You know, ever since I was younger, both of my mom and my dad were addicts and alcoholics as well. So a lot of my family was too. So being in that type of family, you know, it was I feel like, you know, I wanted to be something different, but as a kid, you know, I hated drugs and alcohol because of what, you know, it did to my mother and my father. But I guess I seem to have fallen into the same, you know, place. I couldn't really pick and choose, you know, my friends very well, because obviously they got me into stuff that I knew what I was doing, but it was hard for me to keep myself out of trouble, I could say. I wasn't that good. I didn't do good in school. I feel like my friends were the people that I felt like paid attention to me most, which wasn't always true. So I hung out with my friends a lot. I hung out with my brother, who was my older brother, who was obviously into things that I wasn't supposed to be into. So I was younger, and I was hanging out with him and his older friends. So I wanted to hang out with, you know, the guys and do guy things, you know. I was always out partying and drinking and you know, doing other things. This is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I won't share too much on that. But you know, I had trouble whenever I got into my first relationship with my son's mom. Her mother was an alcoholic, so it was completely fine, you know, with her that we were drinking in her house at 15 years old, you know, 14 years old. We drank with her almost every single day. She had her leg amputated, so she was in a wheelchair, and we would go into grocery stores and stuff like that, and she would, you know, put bottles behind her back in the wheelchair, and you know, I thought it was a lot of fun at the time, but really, in all reality, you know, I was young, and soon after, you know, a year and a half later of being with this girl, you know, my son's mom, she got pregnant, and she was 15 years old. I was 16, so I had, you know, my son was born when I was 17 years old, and I was in and out of juvenile hall. I thought I was the coolest person alive, you know, stealing from people, you know, hanging out with the friends, and just doing things that I knew wasn't right, but I wasn't keeping myself from doing it. I turned 18 in boot camp, so for the first year I was no part of my son's life, and I got out, you know, and I was living in Tulare when I got out of boot camp. I moved to, you know, with my mother. I had always stayed with my grandmother before, but I moved with my mother and her boyfriend, so I was always the child that wanted to fight my mother's boyfriend and give him hell, and I remember there was this instance where they were trying to get me to come home. You know, I was always hanging out with my girlfriend at the time. They were trying to get me to come home, and they saw me walking one night, and so they pulled over and trying to wrestle me into the car, and there was this lady passing by, and my mom's boyfriend had me in a chokehold, and now he's yelling at the lady, yelled at a lady that was driving by, you know, hey, this man has a knife to my back, help me, you know, just get him any reason that I can to get away from, you know, going home. I wanted to be out and drink and you know, just wanted to be with the people I felt comfortable with, when obviously that should have been my family. You know, as I got a little bit older, I was working at Sonic, and you know, I thought it was the coolest. I didn't have to abide by any rules. My mother was the district manager, you know. And I got on workers' comp, and I was already dabbling into, you know, some other things other than alcohol. And when I got on workers' comp, you know, they were pretty much paying me to stay at home and not do nothing. So I thought it was pretty much free money. I was, you know, using all my money to go and leave from home, you know, and that's when it kind of got bad for me. I wanted to be away from home even more than I already was. So I was away from home for, you know, weeks, you know, sometimes months at a time. I wouldn't come back, you know, unless I wanted to eat or shower, you know. There was a lot of, you know, times where, you know, the situations I put myself in, you know, obviously weren't safe, which I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, have survived, you know, different situations like that. But my mother was always trying to tell me, you know, just to come home, and it was a struggle for her as well as me. But as I got into, you know, more into my addiction, I was no part of my son's life at all anymore. And for about 2 years, you know, I didn't see him hardly ever, unless my mom had him and, you know, finally found me somebody's house, or, you know, I was always from house to house, you know, couch to couch, you know, had a backpack full of stuff, you know, living out of a backpack. There's a lot of times where, you know, my mom would see me sleeping, and because of the come down, because of the alcoholism, you know, she would sit there and she would pray over me as I was, you know, sleeping. And I don't know if that ever worked, but I knew God was in my life. I'd been arrested, you know, as many times as it took for me to be arrested. I finally got into a drug program, you know, into drug court, and I think that's where my life, you know, went for a turn for the better. At first, you know, it was very hard for me, you know, like a lot of people. I didn't want to go to meetings. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to, you know, go to my one-on-ones. I didn't want to do none of that. And after the first month, I had relapsed on Mother's Day, and that was pretty hard, you know, to see. You know, my mother was there for me every step of the way, is what she told me whenever I first got into drug court, was that she would be there for me every step of the way, and she has been. She's been through the program as well, so she knows what it's like to struggle and to you know, just to have that drive that you need to, you know, be sober. So this Mother's Day was actually my first Mother's Day in probably around 7 or 8 years of me being sober, so I'm pretty sure she was pretty happy about that. I got to spend a great Mother's Day with her. But more towards the beginning of my sobriety, it took me a couple of months before I could even start to ask people for a sponsor. I would ask for sponsors and stuff like that, and, you know, I kind of jumped around. I didn't want to do what the sponsor had asked me to, so I kind of just, you know, quit talking to them. And finally I started going to these meetings, this meeting regularly, where I had met a man, and I asked him to be my sponsor, and he said yeah. And ever since, you know, And by that time, I kind of started taking suggestions, you know, just, you know, people, things that people suggested, you know, do what your sponsor asks you to, you know, do the steps that are, you know, they're steps for a reason, they're in order for a reason, you know. So I kind of, you know, I started doing what I needed to do. I was going to meetings regularly. After the first 4 months of me being sober, you know, I finally, I got my own place, and it felt good to do, you know, things like that. I got a job, and things that I've never thought that actually, you know, I would have. I'm starting to, you know, I'm more of a father to my son than I ever have been. And the main thing for me is I wanted to be more a father to my son than my dad was to me. I still don't, you know, personally know my father. I mean, I've, you know, of course I've met him and I've hung out with him and stuff, but he's been more of a friend than anything, or more of a pen pal when he's in prison. But he's not around, you know, and that's not what I wanted for my son. And so when I started to be, you know, of course he's, you know, all over the place, and he wants to ask me a million questions a day, and you know, he wants to slap me in the face when I'm sleeping, and you know, do all those other things. But you know, being a part of his life is what, you know, makes me happy. And even though he frustrates me, it's more than worth it, because I know that that's something I never had, you know, as a father. You know, I never had a father figure. My mom was my father and my mother. So, and I know it's hard for a woman to raise a man, and but it is possible. So, you know, I just, my saying is sober is sexy, because a lot of people might look good when they're not sober, but I sure as hell am not that person. So, you know, I was drinking so much and doing other things so much to where, you know, I had lost, you know, 100 pounds, and I was 119 pounds, something like that. So I didn't look so good, you know. That's not, I didn't look sexy. You know, being the person that I am today, you know, a good father, I feel like I'm a good son. You know, I get to hang out with my mother, you know, almost every day, even though I got my place right across the street from her. So it's kind of, you know, I can go hang out with my mom, but when I need to, I can go home. you know, my life is good today. I am content. I should say I'm more, I love my sobriety, you know. There's a lot of things about life that I can enjoy more, you know, than just sitting on my butt and drinking, you know, my day away, or, you know, trying to get my next fix, or, you know, just worrying about things that do matter, you know. I am busy, you know. I go to school, I go to meetings, you know, I go to work at night. So the time that I do get with my son, I do love to, you know, be with him. And you know, just hanging out with him, I look at him as, you know, when I look at him, I see me as a little kid. And the way I used to feel as a little kid with my mother and my father being, you know, addicts and alcoholics, I didn't get very much attention, you know. Nobody really, not nobody, but the people that I looked up to didn't really pay attention to me. So when I see myself, you know, getting agitated or you know, whatever it is, you know, frustrated with my son, I look at him, you know, and I feel like, man, that was me when I was little. So it's hard for me to be that way with him. I'm trying to change my life for the better, you know, today. I am doing the steps, you know, as they're supposed to. My sponsor is really good, and you know, I've been to other speaker meetings, and I've been to, you know, men's meetings, and I don't go to very many different meetings, but when I do get a chance, I try to. Like I said, this is my first time, so all of you people staring at me is a little nervousing. But I'm just trying to, you know, say that there is a life in sobriety that you can enjoy. You know, being a part of your family, and, you know, just being that person that you knew you were before you started all of this. You know, it's kind of like refining myself, or not even that, just picking up where, you know, where I left off before I started using or drinking. And it's kind of, you know, relearning all the things that I needed to know all along. You know, seeing other people go through their addiction, you know, or their alcoholism is, is a big struggle, because I know that I was that person. So when I do get a chance, I try to speak to people who are new into the program or, you know, are struggling. I will, you know, pray with people, and just the questions that I get asked by, you know, people that I work with, you know, it feels good. You know, I try not to surround myself around my old friends, you know, the places that I used to go to. But my life, like I said, is extraordinarily better than what it used to be. I'm running out of things to talk about. you know, I just want you guys to know that me being a year sober, it's you know, I'm surprised at how much I can accomplish within a year. So if you are new to the program, just make sure that, you know, you do stick in and do, you know, what other people have suggested. You know, there's steps and they're in order for a reason. You got to take care of, you know, you got to take care of yourself and work on yourself before you can, you know, you got to learn to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Man, that's about really all I got. Thank you.
I'll stay up for questions.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to ask questions. If anybody wants to ask Dean a question about anything, like sobriety related, and I'll ask the first one. How did you get a sponsor?
I got a sponsor by going and I was talking to different people. I got introduced to this person from my brother, who had met this man while he was in jail. I spoke to this guy a couple of times, and when I asked him to be my sponsor, you know, he was more than willing. I got to admit, whenever I did first get, you know, my sponsor, he had given me some things, and I kind of drawn them out a little bit. You know, I didn't want to. I was lagging it, pretty much is what it was. I had kept myself from, you know, getting on my steps and being busy. But when I did get that sponsor, I was, you know, I was happy. And I wanted to choose somebody that I wanted to be like in sobriety. So I wanted to choose somebody that I, you know, that I looked up to, you know, in my sobriety. So. Any other questions?
Yeah.
My four step, you know, a lot of people talk about the four step being, you know, this big dreaded, you know, dreadful step. When I started my four step, you know, I thought, oh yeah, this is my time to get back at every MF-er that ever did me wrong, you know. I'm going to write all this, you know, and F them and F this and but when it came down to it, you know, I started to look at my sponsor, like, you know, like, well, you know, like, hold up, this is all turning around back on me now. So a lot of the things that I did write about, you know, I wrote, I remember I came up to him with 10 pages of all kinds of stuff that, you know, that I had, you know, had resented about other people. And he was like, okay, well, what's your part in it? And I was like, well, what do you mean, what's my part? You know, this isn't about me right now. So working with my sponsor through that step has been a big eye-opener. I know that in anything that I might resent somebody for, there's something that I could, you know, have possibly, you know, had something to do with that. Not all the time, but, you know, just sometimes. So... any other questions? Excuse me? Amends? Well, I've made a couple of amends. I haven't really gone and, you know, I don't really go out and look for somebody that I had written, you know, a resentment about. But the amends that I have made have been within my family. And my amends have... I haven't had one amends to where somebody has... still been mad at the fact that what I did was wrong just as well as what they did, you know, what I felt what they did to me was wrong. You know, nine times out of ten, you will go to make an amends, and that person will be more humbling than you would actually expect. You would think that you're going to, you know, tell them sorry, and they're still going to, you know, be resentful towards you. Like I said, nine times out of ten, that person will, you know, understand and be, you know, more understanding. So that's kind of how it's been going for me.
Dean, how did your sponsor help you find a power greater than yourself?
Ever since I was younger, I kind of was a religious person. I was a Christian. And so when I was speaking, you know, with my sponsor, you know, about finding a power greater than myself, I have kind of known, you know, where my heart was. So finding a power greater than myself, to me, was just more of getting to know him better, more than trying to find him. So getting to know him better also, you know, came with a lot of getting to know myself better. So being, you know, with my higher power, you know, as a spiritual, you know, human being, was, it took time, but I am happy with the spiritual person that I am today. I try to pray as much as possible. Sometimes I don't get to it, but I know that he's always there looking over me, you know, the person I choose, you know, to call my higher power. So that's kind of how that's going for me. Anybody else want to ask me a question that's going to make me really nervous? Yes. What am I doing about being sober? I'm enjoying the most about being sober today is the people I get to meet in my sobriety are good people. I get to go places, you know, like just this past weekend I went to, you know, Sequoia National Park, and, you know, I got to go jump off the cliffs into this cold water that, you know, pretty much I took my breath away. You know, I thought I was going to die, but I didn't. I get to go and do things that are more enjoyable, you know, because I can go to the beach and, you know, and drink and, you know, and I was always a blackout drunk, so when I wanted to drink, I wanted to drink as much as possible. So I didn't remember anything like that, you know. I get to go places and hang out with people that, you know, I will remember, things that I won't forget, you know. I meet great people in my sobriety, you know, people who actually do care. Like, I have a friend, you know, I have a best friend who came up to me, you know, on my birthday, and he gave me a shirt, you know, for my birthday. And, you know, I kind of looked at him weird, you know, like, well, what do you want, you know, like, what do you want in return, you know, like, I wasn't used to that. You know, my friends from, you know, the streets, the people I thought were my friends, you know, none of that stuff ever happened out there, you know, no good deed, you know, towards me, I felt wasn't done. So when I got friends who actually did care, it was kind of, I was more hesitant to, you know, ask them, well, what do you want in return, you know, and I was like, people don't just do stuff for each other like that. And he's like, yeah, they kind of do. And so, you know, to me, it was, in my sobriety now, I am enjoying, you know, the people that I meet and the places I get to go and the things that I get to see and, you know, enjoy. I get to go hang out with my son and take him places, you know, and those are things that I won't forget, you know. So that's what I am enjoying very much about my sobriety. Is there any other questions that I can answer for you guys? My son is 4 years old. He will turn 5 this year. So he's in that, you know, like I say, he's in that ask a million questions a day, you know, and kind of stage. He's awesome, though. You know, I took him to go get his haircut the other day, and he got a mohawk, you know, because that's what he wanted, you know. So it was pretty cool to get to go out and do things like that, you know, take him out to eat and just enjoy, you know, father-son time. You know, I say, since it is just me and him at home, me and his mother aren't currently together. And, you know, I was texting one of my friends the other day, and they asked me, I told them that I was just hanging out with my son. And they said, well, what are you guys doing? And I was like, none, just man things. And they're like, well, what's that? And I, you know, cooking and cleaning. So, you know, it's, you know, being with my son is great. You know, like I said, you know, I can't enjoy it enough. Is there any other questions? Come on, help me out here. Yes. It's a juvenile program. It's, you know, so.
Hey.
Yes.
Your son is awesome, but you're a moron because you can ask him how to do everything clean and sober.
Yeah. You know, and he wants to go and get, because I got him like these cards and stuff like that, you know, that say numbers and pictures on the other side, and he wants to come over to me all the time and you know, come on, Dad, I need to do my homework, you know, and just, you know, it excites me the fact that he's excited about, you know, wanting to learn and stuff like that. I don't want him to be a TV and candy, and so I'm a little strict about those kind of things, but sometimes I need to let him enjoy candy and stuff like that, you know, and just hang out, and he likes hanging out with Dad a lot, because I can tell, you know, whenever I go pick him up from his mom, he always wants to run to me and, you know, yell Daddy and stuff like that, you know, so it just like that movie kind of scene, you know, so it's pretty cool. Something I really never got to know myself, you know. So it is good. You know, I'm learning to be a father on my own rather than learning from my father. So in every experience that I get with him, I try to learn from, you know. Because being a parent is not, you know, easy. It's going to be tough. And I know I put my mom in through hell. So... she used to be out there looking for me, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, going to every friend's house that she knew about, and I would see my friend, you know, 2 days later, like, hey, bro, you know, your mom's looking for you, you know. So it's. I just hope that I can teach my son, you know, to do the things that, you know, I didn't. So, but if that ever does happen, I do have the tools that I need to, you know, work on that. You know, learning these tools in sobriety will help me with my parenting if it ever comes down to it. Not only with myself, but also with my parenting. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
You know, I believe in you.
Do you?
I'm poor.
Thank you. Yes, sir. My favorite part of the Big Book, you know, I'm actually doing, I do book study meetings. When I first started the Big Book, I tried reading it on my own, and it was just a bunch of gibberish to me. I couldn't understand it, you know. But going to these book studies, we kind of break it down into paragraphs. And so I am actually going through the Big Book right now. I haven't found a part of the Big Book that I haven't liked. So there's a lot of the Big Book that I do like. So I don't have a favorite part. I like all of it. To answer your question. Any other questions? Yes. The things that I do now to keep myself in business, well, honestly, I don't have time to, you know, go out and hang out with, you know, old friends, or keep, you know, get my mind on, you know, just reoccurring thoughts, you know, of my addiction or alcoholism. I go to meetings in the morning. I have an hour in between my meeting before I go to school. And then I have an hour in when I get out of school, you know, to get to work. So I'm doing something constantly. I have gotten myself into, you know, into school and into meetings that, you know, that I keep myself busy with. And if I'm not into a meeting or in school or at work, I'm hanging out with my son, and that takes a lot of time as well. So that's what I do, you know. And if not, if I can't, you know, if I'm not with my son or in meetings or school, I'll crack open, you know, my Big Book and do some step work. Sometimes it does take me to set everything out on my table, so every time I pass through my kitchen, I see that my step work is right there. So I got a minute, and I'll sit down and do it, you know. So that's what I'm doing to keep myself busy. Yes.
Thank you for your share. How many meetings do you go to now a week?
A week, I go to about five or six meetings a week. Any other questions? Yes. Me right now, I'm currently on my step six. So learning about all my character defects, you know, I don't want to admit a lot of them, but I know that if I don't do my steps thoroughly, I'm only cheating myself. So in the long run, I want to put as much as possible into my steps and into my program because I don't want to half measure anything, you know. I felt like I was the sickest person in the room, you know, mentally, and I had screwed up my, you know, my life. So as much effort as I'm putting into, you know, and it is a saying, but I took it to heart when people say, you know, put as much effort as you did into going out there and finding a bottle or finding a sack, as, you know, as much effort as you did that, I'm trying to put as much effort into my program, you know, to better myself, because I feel like I'm going to cheat myself if I don't, you know. And it's not for anybody else, it's for me. So, yeah. I'm sorry. Right. I found meetings that kind of fit into my schedule. I go to morning meetings. I also, you know, I have a meeting that I secretary in the mornings on Mondays and stuff like that. So it just so happened to fall into place for me. So looking around, finding different meetings, it's not hard to find a meeting here in Visalia. If you really want to, you know. Yes. Personally, I take every meeting spiritual, but the meeting itself, about one or two of those meetings is spiritual, but I try to take it into a spiritual connection every time. Yes. Thank you. I'm going to end on that note right there. So. Thank you guys for letting me share and have some of your time. Thank you for listening to me, and you guys have a good night.